I'm Kurt Hitchcock, and this is Footsteps.
Saeed is a Palestinian from Gaza, a small self-governing territory in the Middle East. His life changed dramatically after the 2006 election, in which Hamas was defeated by the incumbent Fatah party. Hamas is considered a terrorist organization by many countries and international organizations. Saeed did not give in to the terror and corruption of Hamas when they came to power. He resisted. As a result, he and his family suffered intimidation, which then escalated into physical violence.
After a couple of months or a couple of weeks, I have a problem with the government, with Hamas, because actually when I saw him do something wrong, I'm just talking with him, why you do that, why you hit the people. They're making for me money problem for my life, for my kids, for my wife. Then I decided, because some problem happened, they take me to police station many times, and they thrusted me in the jail many times, and they hit me, hit my wife, hit my daughter.
One night, a cousin came to Saeed and told him he needed to leave Gaza immediately. Hamas was coming to kill him the next day. Facing certain death, Saeed fled Gaza, leaving behind his wife, Abir, and their five children. Heartbroken, his family knew they would see Saeed again, but they did not know when, and they did not know where. Saeed, ever resourceful, had a plan for their future, but it would take time and many blessings to come true. Saeed traveled to Egypt, where one of his sisters lived. There he was able to obtain a U.S. visitor's visa to see his sister, Hikmat, who lives in Lancaster.
Well, yeah, he told me a lot about how the situation getting worse and what Hamas start to do to him there, mm-hmm. and that his life is not safe.
Mm-hmm.
So,
a scary time.
Yeah, it was very scary there. Still scary there, too.
And when he decided to leave, he let you know that he was coming?
Well, yeah, because I helped him with the visitor visa.
Okay.
Yeah, I helped him to come to visit me too, because I, you know, I didn't have anyone of my family except one sister that she came to visit me before him, okay. but she lived in Egypt.
Okay.
So it was like I wanted some of my family to come and visit me to see them.
Saeed did not wait very long after arriving in Lancaster to take the first step in his plan to be reunited with his family. He wanted to apply for asylum in the U.S.
When I came here, at first my sister picked me up from the airport to her house, and I just stayed like 5 days with her. Then I told them I need to go to the immigration office because I need to meet somebody to make for me to stay here long time or all the time. So she took me, she took me to the immigration office in Lancaster here. But at first she talking with me about my story and my history in my country, why you here and what about your story, what happened. And I told her what everything, what happened for anything.
In my conversation with Barbara, I found out applying for asylum is no easy task. Many things need to be considered.
So one of the former clients of Church World Service, her brother arrived in the U.S. and wanted to apply for asylum. So I guess she called the main immigration number at Church World Service, and they asked me if I would be interested in looking at the case at least. So I thought, well, I can look at it and I can, see if he's got a good case. If it's a difficult case, we can refer him to an attorney. If I think he doesn't have a good case, I can tell him that and, tell him what I'm willing to do. So she brought him in and he told us about his situation.
And this is his sister?
This is Saeed, sister of Saeed al-Nahal, yes. His
Hikmat.
Sister, Hikmat.
Okay.
Hikmat brought Saeed in. And she translated for him because at that point he spoke very little English. and explained the situation, why he'd left, and you know, all the details that you have to know when you do an asylum case, whether you've passed through another country that you could have gotten asylum in, and all these other questions that you have to know to ask. It looked like he had a reasonably good case based on what he said. You know, of course, you have to go and look at the country conditions and a little bit more to determine if it's consistent with what the story is.
Saeed wanted to move quickly, but it took a couple of months to complete the application and get all the necessary documentation together, including a medical examination, which stated that Saeed's injuries were consistent with what he described as having endured when he was beaten by Hamas.
In Saeed's case, he was in a huge hurry to do this. He was not going to wait anywhere near 6 months to do it. And he was...
It's like day one.
Yeah, he was ready to go right away. And, you know, of course, the thing is that you want to do all of your due diligence before you send it in, because you don't want any surprises to come down later. And you want to make sure that everything that you write, you don't put anything in there that is going to come back to bite you later. So in some order, you would have either the affidavit or the I-589 at the top. Okay. Then you would have to have any identification that he brought with him. So his Palestinian passport, anything else that he has that shows who he is, birth certificate, anything like that. Then you would have other pieces of evidence, such as the doctor's statement, the medical papers that he brought with him, the things that we found on the internet about his cousin, the State Department Human Rights Watch, and I had a big stack, and actually I went through and I highlighted the things that were pertinent, because I knew that there was no way that the examiner was going to have time to read 300 pages or however much it was of writing.
You were thorough.
Yeah, and and the other thing you have to be careful is when you submit things, you want to make sure that everything you're submitting is consistent, because you don't want them to pull something else out from what you submitted and say, well, yeah, it says this over here. And then I believe I wrote a statement at the top, basically laying out the argument about why he was eligible for asylum.
When Barbara was satisfied Saeed's application was complete, it was sent off to the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Service office in Newark, New Jersey. Saeed waited and waited, and finally he was notified of his court date. He knew this day was critical to his family's future and could mean a death sentence if he needed to return to Gaza.
It sounds kind of funny, but you want to prepare for the hearing. So you want to go, you know, just do a practice. Like, what kind of questions is the examiner or the asylum officer going to ask you? So, you know, we do a little bit of that.
Kind of a mock hearing.
Yeah, just pretend a little bit. And, you know, I always tell people that don't be nervous, because the person who's asking you the question doesn't know what happened to you. You know what happened to you.
Right.
So you're the one that has the answers. So don't be worried about not knowing what the answers are, because, you know, you know them.
Right.
Assuming that you told the truth, you know the answers.
Right.
I mean, I'm not naive enough to think that there aren't asylum cases that I've done where people were making up the story. I'm sure that that's happened. Mm-hmm. I didn't believe that in Saeed's case, because he was, the emotional reactions he had when telling the story were consistent with it actually having happened to him. So I was confident that he was telling the truth, but some people do lie. But you know that's the case, and some of them probably get away with it. But anyhow, the point is that the people who are having the hearing, they're the ones that know what happened to them. So I try to give people that confidence that you know what happened. So
Sure. Try
not to be too nervous about this. I mean, it doesn't matter. You're going to be nervous. Your life and death basically is based on this hearing.
Getting Saeed to his court hearing in Newark became an international affair. Barbara did not want to drive. She wanted to use his travel time to review Saeed's case one last time in order to go into the court hearing confident about every aspect of his application. She enlisted the help of Nartizia, a Bosnian woman who she had helped settle in the U.S., to drive, and Amr Al-Fayed, who later went to work for Church World Service, for his Arabic translation skills. The trip was the very first time Saeed had met Nartizia and Amr, both of whom became very good friends to he and his family.
And Barbara says, I know who drive to New York with no problems, because I went to New York to pick up my mom, and people from my country will take them to the airport and back, even before I start doing taxi. And she called me, she says, can you take us? I said, Barbara, you know that I at that point I didn't have a car. She says, don't worry, we're going to get his sister car. Mm-hmm. Her car. That's where I'm in. First time, Amer and Saeed.
Reading with the story again and ask Saeed many questions before he's going to the court to ask when the officer, and I need somebody to help him to drive. She bring it to Valentisa to drive the car, and she took it to my sister's car. And she also gave other one, his name is Omar, to translate for me in the court, because at that time I can't speak English very well. So they're coming at 3:30 in the morning. It was very dark. When they came in, I say, somebody say, in the morning it was dark. Assalamu alaikum, who is this speak Arabic here? I'm surprised for this one. It was Nartis and Omar. They say, Assalamu alaikum in Arabic. I told them, oh, I never saw him before. Is that the first time I met him?
Although asylum hearings are not designed to be adversarial, it is not uncommon for many of those who are applying to perceive them as such.
So the asylum interview is meant to be non-adversarial.
Mm-hmm.
And it generally is, although sometimes when you in the process of asking penetrating questions or clarifying questions, it can seem a little bit adversarial. I'm sure Saeed felt that he was kind of on trial.
But Saeed kept his composure, told his story, and calmly answered all the questions posed by the asylum officer. At the end of the hearing, Saeed and Barbara thought they had done all they could do. But the asylum officer asked for a little more information.
And when I go out, Barbara told me, that's you, take a proof, because if somebody not passed on this court, he said right away, you're not passed. But if you told you just coming after 17 days to take the answer, that's meaning you approved for you, right?
So at the end of the hearing, the asylum officer basically pointed out to me that I had missed a few things. And then he said, okay, I want all this, and I want it by this date. And honestly, I felt very good, because mm-hmm. a lot of people would have just said, well, you didn't prove it. It may have been, this is stuff that he's thinking, I want to grant this, but I need a few more things so I can make sure that my supervisor doesn't come back and tell me X, Y, Z.
Barbara went to work immediately to gather the information the court was seeking. And she knew she had to turn it around quickly.
So he gave us, I don't remember. We didn't have a lot of time to get it together, because I remember going back and running around, making photocopies and getting things certified and sending them off, you know, express mail or whatever, so they get there in time.
The next 17 days were agonizing for Saeed.
I told them, okay, but the 17 days, it was very, very hard for me, because I can't stay 17 days waiting for, this is my life, you know what I mean? So 17 days, like 17 years. Every moment, sometimes I thinking for all the time. Sometimes when I was taking the dishes with my hand, this is falling down and the broken, because I'm thinking all the time, thinking. You.
Saeed returned to the court in New Jersey 17 days later with his sister Hikmat to hear if he would receive asylum status. In court, he pleaded with the asylum officer for his family to be able to join him.
I told him, if you give me approved, but if my family can't coming here, I can't stay by myself, because I love my family. I love my wife and my kids to coming here. So I told him, if you can't bring my family here, I can't stay by myself. So I need to go anywhere. Maybe I go back and they will kill me, but you must know.
To be separated,
yeah,
from your family.
So who told
I'm
me,
sure
yeah. Who told me, who blamed me to bring my family here?
On 11/11/2011, Saeed was granted asylum in the U.S. in the form of an official letter. Along with the letter, Saeed received documentation that allowed him to apply for a Social Security card to start working. He began working at a local diner almost immediately. Saeed knew how important it was to master English, so he decided to take a job waiting on customers.
For me, after a couple of months, when I go to the court and they give me a choice to work here, I found a job for me. I start to work at first in diner, and the boss said to me at first, if you like it to work in the kitchen or in the service. I told them no. I like it to work in the with the people that by like service, because I need to speak more English, because you know in the kitchen always they speak a Spanish or Arabic or somebody like that, and I can't learn more English. So I told them I need to work with the customer, with the people, because I needed to learn more English. And after a couple of months, I was speaking English, but not very much, but it's okay. I can know what I can saying, or somebody understand what I'm saying for him, or what I needed. I can talk with anybody.
Saeed spent hours with Barbara Whitmer to get all the necessary documentation completed and sent off to the U.S. Embassy in Cairo, Egypt, in order to be reunited with his family.
So the first thing, I mean, from the very first day I met him, he wanted to know how he's going to bring his family. So I said, well, you get asylum, and then you could apply for them.
Right.
So as soon as he got asylum, I mean, I was like, okay, you need your marriage certificate, you need the birth certificates, you need passport photos, you need all this stuff. Get him here. One of the women who worked at Church World Service from Iraq did all the translations because everything had to be in English. Uh-huh. And then we sent them off.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure we had them sent by December. I mean, it was within weeks after. It takes a little bit of time just to collect all the papers.
Saeed dearly missed his family, and they missed him. Days turned into weeks, and weeks turned into months. But finally, the day that they had all been waiting for arrived. Anticipating seeing his family again, Saeed could not sleep the night before their late afternoon arrival.
So about second, they took the visa just to coming here. And the next day, on October 3rd, they was here, because they waiting a long time in Egypt, and I don't like it to stay in my family to stay a long time in Egypt and without me, because you know I miss him all the time. So I told them the next day you must be coming. They're coming in the next day here to the airport and JF Kennedy in New York. And then that time I know the flight arrived here at 3:15 or 3:20 afternoon. And I went to the Egypt in the morning at 3 o'clock in the morning a.m.
So you left here at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and I know the flight arrived here at 3 p.m.
Hikmet was very happy to see her brother reunited with his family again. She recalled a very funny incident shortly after they arrived.
I remember a very funny story. I will never forget. They lived in Marshall Street, I think, in downtown. Mm-hmm. They never saw snow before. So when they came, it was icy, actually, the steps.
Okay.
So one of the kids went to get something from the car, then he slid. Oh, yeah. And then his sister followed him, and she did the same thing Abir did. And then it was, I mean, I know they are safe, but it was like funny to listen to the story that they didn't know anything about them.
Saeed and his family are putting down deep roots in Lancaster. They purchased a home in a very nice neighborhood. And Saeed works at a school for children with special learning needs. He finds great joy in helping these children learn and grow. All of his children are working and or attending school together with the love of his life, Abir. The new life they are building in America is filled with peace, joy, and hope for a better tomorrow.